Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 1 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to be reading chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, 27 verses. It's not going to be short. Sorry, Steve. I said it's going to be short, a shorter one today, but, you know, I got working on it yesterday, and I just couldn't. I was compelled to do more. So you'll find that on page 1780. There's a Bible in the pew there, if you didn't bring one with you, so you can follow along. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? You are not the result of my work. Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to show those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to make a believing wife along with us, or do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. It is about oxen that God is concerned. Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we do not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the temple, on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though myself I'm not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your wisdom this morning, your discernment to understand these passages of Scripture that's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's applicable to us today because you haven't changed. So we ask you to teach us through your word this morning. Help us not to be distracted, to concentrate and speak to each one of our hearts this morning. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this letter, we shall learn St. Paul's defense of his credentials as an apostle and his right for financial support as a minister of the gospel, yet why he refused to accept it from this Corinthian church. He had every right to it, material support, but he refused it from this particular church. And he also gives several reasons why he and every missionary, vocational Christian worker, and ministers have the right to be supported financially by the church. I read about a young boy. Parents used to bring him to church every week. And he comes up to the pastor after the service. He says, "How are you doing, little man?" He says, "Oh, very good." He says, "I've got something for you, pastor." It's always nice to receive gifts, kids, by the way. And he said, "Well, what are you going to give me?" He said, "I'm going to, instead of putting my money in the collection, in the offering plate, I'm going to give it to you. Just about a couple of dollars." He said, "Oh, that's very nice of you. Why are you giving it to me?" He said, "Well, my dad says you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard." Some are still thinking about that one. Right, let's get back. Paul says, all those who work get something for a living. Some of you have worked for a living, or barely work for a living, and they get paid. He mentions soldiers, farmers, shepherds, everybody, laborers. They do it, not because they love to work, some people do. They do it to get paid, in order to pay bills. And why not Christian workers as well, Paul is saying. In fact, he had an even greater claim on their support, because he was the one that founded that church in Corinth. He says in verse 12, "If others share this rightful claim on you, do we not even more?" He tells them that the support was provided for God's servants in the Old Testament. He gives examples there in verse 13. "Do you not know those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple? Those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings." The Old Testament priests were supported from the crops and the animals that people brought to be offered to God in worship. And a portion of that offering was given to God's servants that worked in the temple. This is the Old Testament. That was a practice in the Old Covenant. And it should be continued into the New Covenant, the New Testament, Paul says in verse 14. In the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. When Jesus sent out 70 of his followers, there wasn't just the 12 disciples. Jesus had many, many followers. He sent out 70 followers on an evangelistic mission. In Luke chapter 10, verse 5 through 7, he tells us that Jesus said, when you enter a house, he's talking this to his followers who went on that mission trip. When you enter a house, peace, say peace to this house. You stay there, eat and drink, and whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. A worker deserves his wages. So even though Paul had every right to receive support from every church, oddly enough, he refused to take it from the Corinthian church. Nevertheless, verse 12, we have not made use of this right, but we endure everything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people were accusing him that he was doing it for the money. He was serving the Lord for the money. But he's saying that a true servant of Jesus Christ is more concerned about the advance of the gospel than his own income. Just like Jesus himself, he set aside his rights in order to serve others. Amen. Verse 15 through 17, but I have not used any of these rights, and I'm not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. For I'd rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. A preacher, a true preacher of the gospel, is compelled to preach the gospel. And he said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach it voluntarily, I have a reward. He talked about that in verse 24 through 27. He's talking about a spiritual reward when he gets to heaven, when he stands before the judgment throne of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to receive rewards, whether if it's done with the right motives, if it's done for any other motive than because we love the Lord and we want to serve the Lord, then we will lose rewards. But anything done in the name of Jesus, even giving someone a glass of water in his name, will not be neglected by the Lord, because he sees everything and he's going to reward those that do things in his name. He's talking about eternal rewards here. And he says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So it's a very serious thing to stand behind the pulpit and not preach the true gospel. And as many wolves in sheep's clothing behind pulpits today, many, 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 many. In fact, one of the pastors told me there's a lot of wolves in wolf's clothing. I like that one. This is why I preach the gospel, because I'm called to preach the gospel. I didn't choose it. God chose me to preach the gospel. It's the last thing I had on my mind. The last thing, somebody would have told me that I was going to go to Papua New Guinea as a mission, I would have said that you are crazy. But that's where we ended up. I'm compelled to preach the gospel, and as long as I have the strength and the opportunity, I will always continue to preach the gospel, not for reward, but simply because I am committed to preach the truth. So people don't want to hear the truth. I'm committed to fulfill my obligation as a minister of the gospel that has been entrusted to me by God. If people don't want to hear the truth, they can go elsewhere, because there's many, many ministers and churches, so-called, will they'll tickle their ears and they'll tell gullible people what they want to hear to make them feel good about themselves. There's plenty of places they can go to. And once you're going to start preaching the truth, people don't want to hear the truth. And this is why they crucified Jesus. Why? Because he told the truth. Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." It is a very serious thing for anyone in pulpits that do not preach the truth, the whole gospel. To confirm that, this is what Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned." It's a serious thing. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Jesus. Our aim is to please God, not man. And we're going to receive a reward if we are faithful to him. So, if people don't make a stand on what is true, and this is true, the word of God is true because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. If we don't make a stand on what is true, then people will fall for anything, which they do. So many gullible people in this world, professing Christians. People like Paul and ministers entrusted with the responsibility of teaching from pulpits will one day have to stand before the Lord and we'll have to give an account for what we preach or what we don't preach. So my conscience is clear, I can say that. And by the grace of God, I'll continue to seek to honor the Lord Jesus, preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Jesus is the truth. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me." There is the gospel. He's called us to preach the truth. He's called us as his servants. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, whether Paul received support from the Corinthians or not, he was still compelled to do God's will. Wasn't concerned about what people said about him. Of course, we all want to be popular. I want to be popular. There's no reason why I shouldn't be, you know. Anyway. So I'm so humble too. But we can't please everybody. Our aim is to please the Lord. He didn't do it for the money. He said that in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. He didn't want to give the impression to some that will question his apostleship that he was just doing it for the dough. And writing to another church that he established in Thessalonica, try to say that three times. "For you remember that our labor and toil, we work day and night that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. In other words, while he was at that church and it was being established by Paul, he worked with his hands. He worked for a living. But after he left Thessalonica, he was supported by them because he was a missionary. When he was on the road, when he was moving about, preaching the gospel, establishing churches, he wasn't working with his hands. He wasn't making money. So the churches supported him, which is rightly so. But he never took it from the Corinthians. Maybe they didn't have enough money. He said, I accepted support from them in order to serve you. Yeah, he received money from the Thessalonica church in order to serve the church in Corinth, who didn't have as much money to spread around. He said, when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anybody. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need, so I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. We also need to remember that the Corinthian church were already supporting a pastor. Remember that? Remember his name? Pardon? Apollos. Good man. They were supporting Apollos. He was the pastor, and rightly so. Whereas Paul, when he was settled, he could make his money by doing his secular trade, which was, he was a tent maker. That's what he did. He could make tents and he could earn money doing that. But being a missionary, evangelist, he had every right to receive financial support from all those churches. And it's the same in our day. We have Lee here today, Lee Browning. I'm going to enjoy his presentation later on. It's God's will for him to go to India. So he's trying to raise his support. And churches rightly should support him. We're expected to support people like him that are trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. They have every right to our support. But when the gospel is preached and that church is established, which we hope it is, then it's that church that has the responsibility to support those that are ministering within that church. And Paul made it clear that he did not have to conform himself to the preferences of others. Nevertheless, because he loved the Lord, he voluntarily gave up his rights and followed Jesus' example by serving others so that the spiritually lost people could have their sins forgiven. Do you know that you've had your sins forgiven and go to heaven when we leave this world? Do you know where you're going when you leave this world? Are you certain? Do you know? Do you know? One example he gives of giving up his rights for the sake of the gospel is a man called Hudson Taylor. Paul said, I became all things to all men in order to win them to Christ. He adapted to the culture. Hudson Taylor was one. He was one of the first missionaries to China. And he gave up his rights to wear Western clothes. Instead, he wore the clothes that the Chinese people wore at that time in order to fit in with their culture and win them to Jesus. By the way, Lee, I'm not suggesting that you wear a loincloth when you go to India, you know, but that's up to you. You can if you want. As long as I don't have to see it. Okay. So why Paul? He did give up his rights. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, he's not beholden to anybody. I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many to Jesus as possible. That was his calling. That's what he was compelled to do. And this is why it's so important, and you probably know this already, because we are a missing mission sending agency here. We support numerous missionaries. Janet can tell you how many. Quite a few. To promote and support the cause of world evangelism. And wherever we go into this world, we are to be Jesus's witnesses, to share our faith with people that are willing to listen. If they're not willing to listen, fine. Don't try to force it down their throats. That's their choice. But if they are willing to listen, we can share our faith and how we came to know Jesus as our personal Savior, so they can obtain peace on earth and a home in heaven when they leave this world. Everlasting life. God is eternal. And just as the word promises, and I'll close with this. Didn't take as long as I thought. 1 John 5, 12 and 13. And you can take this to the bank, because every word is true, because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, whoever, who's that? Everybody. Whoever, because God loves everybody. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. People died for all the children of the world. Whoever has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, whoever has the Son has life. Talking about spiritual life. But whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Unless you've got spiritual life, you cannot enter into heaven. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful to be here. We're thankful for each one that's come out and given up of their time to honor you. We thank you for this church and the locality of this building. And we know that many, many people in this area and so many other people that haven't got any interest in hearing the truth. So they remain lost in their trespasses and sins. But your word tells us that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you died for everybody who's ever been born. But not everyone will believe the truth. Not everyone believed the truth when you walked this earth as a man. And this is why they crucified you. But help us to be the witness that you want us to be able to share our faith with people that are willing to listen, and to remind us that it's a dangerous thing to hear the word of God and not put it into practice. And also for people that may be listening that have the responsibility to preach the word, that they talk about other things apart from the true gospel, that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood, sinless blood. He was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. Also, he was born of the Virgin Mary, and because he was without sin, he was able to be the perfect sinless sacrifice. And like it was in the Old Testament, he said, when God says, I see the blood, I will pass over you. So when we receive Jesus, when we ask him to come into our heart, our life, admit that we're sinners, and receive him as our own personal Savior, it is then that we pass from death unto life. And we'll have peace on earth and a guaranteed home in heaven. I hope some people listening to this message, wherever you may be, will realize that there's no other way whereby we must be saved from our sins and forgiven in this world and in the world to come. So we won't have to be condemned or face eternal judgment, but we'll enter into your presence where there's fullness of joy. But as long as we receive you, and it's a simple act of faith, believing that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by you. Give us the faith to believe it and to receive him as personal Savior. And we ask these things in the name which is above every name, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand to be dismissed? Don't forget, we've got a fellowship meal. Doesn't matter if you didn't bring anything, there's plenty to go around. And Lee's going to give his presentation. Probably between the food and the dessert, I don't know. Let me close with this beautiful doxology. In Philippians, another church that Paul established in Philippi. And this is what he says. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. All God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.